Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Middleton into the left corner. He gets a return from Jackson, fires a three, and hits it as he's fouled. Welcome back, Mr. Middleton.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Horford versus Lillard. Top of the key, dribble drive. Puts it up on the run as he's fouled, and he got it. It drops home. Counted for Damian Lillard.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, a tough final 6 minutes of this game tonight ultimately sinks the Bucks as the Boston Celtics go 3-0 against the Bucks in the regular season here, a 111-105 final score. And, you know, a common thread in each of these three games is that the Bucks, for large portions of the game, played good enough to win. But this is the difference between the elite teams, the haves and the have-nots, is, you know, we experienced so many years on the opposite end for the Bucks, in that you had to play 48 minutes to beat the Bucks. And how many times in 2019, 2020, the title year, did we see the Bucks erase 20-point deficits where, you know, okay, if this team doesn't keep their foot on the gas, they're going to come back, and the run is coming for the Bucks. They're now, at least for the time being, on the other end of that. And it just shows the importance of needing to put together full stretches. I thought, for the most part, you were there tonight. So all three games they played against the Celtics this season, they took a lead into halftime. In each of the previous two, that lead was gone by the end of the third quarter, and in some cases early in the third. Outscored by 25 points in the third quarter in the previous two matchups. And tonight, that didn't happen. It just didn't come until late in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I know we've mentioned quite a bit, hey, it's moving in the right direction. There's some positives to take away from this. We heard the same narrative from Doc Rivers after the game, and I do believe that. But we said coming into this week, look, you're playing better. You've cleaned up a lot of things. You like overall what you see. There's a lot of positive takeaways. Now you just got to start to beat good teams. And, you know, there's a couple of things that differentiate the teams that right now are where the Bucks are at 11-11 versus the really good teams. Really good teams have no problem winning games they're not supposed to win, and really good teams beat good teams. Bucks haven't really been able to do that. I mean, maybe you could point to the Rockets game earlier this season, but the latter has not come yet. So we'll see next week when you get the Orlando Magic, not to look past the Nets this weekend, but next week you get the Orlando Magic and then either the Hawks or the Knicks again. Like, those are your chances, but you've got to start to beat some of these teams now. You got two more cracks at the Cavs. This is it for the Celtics. I think three more games with the Sixers. These are games now. We're not in the moral victory business. You got to start to win these games. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk and to share your thoughts. We didn't even touch on, Brandon, the two, not storylines, but the two biggest items of note coming into the game tonight. The 30th birthday for Giannis. This is the first time the Bucks have lost a game on Giannis's birthday. And then, of course, the return of Chris Middleton. So I guess let's start with the Chris Middleton return here. 23 minutes, Doc Rivers said after the game. Yeah, we went past our minute total for him. But what did you see from Chris Middleton tonight?
Well, I think he started out, Justin, about as good as you were looking forward to, the four-point play.
Yeah.
To begin the game, I will say this. First off, I'm really happy for Chris Middleton, the person and the player, to be able to come back. Yeah, missing the first handful of games, and to be able to come back, and he did it against a team that he's been relatively good against, 11 points off the bench tonight. I think what you saw tonight, Justin, is kind of what I think most reasonable fans would expect. His timing was off a little bit on a few exchanges with Giannis, which I think caught a lot of people off guard, but I think that was kind of to be expected. I thought he shot the ball okay-ish. I know he's 2-for-10, but his shot selections were good. I mean, he had a few open shots that he just didn't knock down. I thought he moved very well. I think we also got to realize, too, and I don't know how many games under Doc, but I know as the big three, Giannis, Dame, and Chris, this is only the 43rd game they've played together. Under Doc, I mean, you might be able to.
10 under Doc.
10 under Doc. Okay. So, I still think I really liked the end of the game lineup that they went with. It was Giannis, Chris, Dame, AJ Green. I know Ajax came in there late, and Brooke Lopez. I thought that was a really nice lineup. I liked it a lot. But I it's a tough loss, man. And it's just, you're so close. Boston doesn't shoot good at all in this game, 32% from three. Horford didn't have the great night. White was atrocious. It was a game where it was a winnable game, and I think that's what the most frustrating part about it. But if you have to be optimistic about something, it's that this is now kind of the block where they can push off and start to build up that camaraderie and build up that time together on the floor as a full unit. Obviously you lose Taurean Prince to an illness, but other than that, you're good. You're ready to rock. You're good to go. And I know it's game one, but that's what's encouraging for me. You can play with these teams. We've seen them play Boston tough, Justin, all year long. I can't believe we're already done playing Boston for the year, but each one of these games, and I know this is the first game where you had Chris Middleton, but all three of these games have been, one, two, three possession games late, so you can do it. You got to get over that hump. And I don't know if it's a mental thing. And I know they played Boston tough last year. I think they split that series last year, two games and two. Just this year just felt like, man, you were there all the way up until the end. And it just, missing a couple shots late. But to go back to your question, I'm happy for Chris Middleton. What I saw tonight is what I expected. I didn't expect a 4-point play to begin the night. But what I saw from Chris Middleton was encouraging. And for me, Justin, it's exciting because now we don't have, let's wait till Chris Middleton comes back, or when Chris Middleton comes back. We're here at that point now. I'm excited to see them going forward.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. A disappointing loss, but there's, I think, some parallels to this game and a game that was played 24 hours ago. So we'll dig into that conversation coming up after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
111-105, the final score tonight. Celtics beat the Bucks. And, looking through some of the advanced numbers for this game, both these teams took basically, their offense was nearly identical in some areas of where they shot the ball from. Bucks took 26 shots at the rim with Giannis. Celtics took 21. Bucks made 17, Celtics made 16, and neither team drew a lot of fouls on those shots, which tells you a lot of them were uncontested. And the Celtics matching the Bucks for all intents and purposes and field goal attempts and makes from that area tells me, and I think we saw this a couple of times, it's what makes Boston very dangerous. They're a five-out team. I thought the Bucks, of all three games, we've said they're moving in the right direction. They look better. Of all three games against the Celtics, this was their best perimeter defense mm-hmm. against Boston. But it can be a double-edged sword. And those numbers at the rim tell me they defended better on the perimeter. Part of it is the Celtics just weren't hitting shots in the first half. Part of that is the Bucks were better defensively, but part of it is we saw it a lot in the first 10 games for the Bucks. But when you're scrambling to close out more on the perimeter and apply that pressure, it leaves lanes open. And we saw a lot of that at times, whether it was off-ball cuts or whoever it was that had the ball just beating their man and getting to the basket. So I know we talked about this a couple games ago in that, for the most part, this defense has been much better in dare I say, pretty close to stout at the point of attack. You haven't seen many of those games since the first 10 where you're thinking like, man, what is happening here with these breakdowns? It didn't necessarily reflect it in the score, but you started to see some of those issues tonight. And, this having said that, this isn't a game that you hang on the defense. They did more than enough to win the game, regardless of a cold shooting night or not. You hold the Boston Celtics to 111 points, you feel pretty good about that. This was the offense for the Bucks. You take out garbage time and the Bucks had a 110.6 offensive rating, which would not be good compared against league averages. You know, that would have you in the bottom 10 of the league. And in the half court, they were even worse. I mean, those numbers, they go down, your efficiency in the half court as it is, because the defense has a chance to load up and set their defense. But the Bucks were not good in the half court. A 97.8 half court offense in this game compared to a 121 half court offense for the Celtics. That was the other thing that stood out about this, is we talked about how much better the Bucks were in terms of their perimeter defense. The Celtics' offense came from the half court. The Bucks locked them down in transition, and that's something that we've started to see more and more of. Bucks weren't good themselves in transition offense, but they've started to clean that up. It gets back to what we said a lot of the first 10 games of the season. The offense is what's presenting the challenges for the Bucks. Now, it's the first game with Chris Middleton. He was on a minutes restriction. You lost Torian Prince, who came into play tonight shooting close to 60% on threes. You only had him for the first 24 minutes of the game. So that all factors into it. And look, the offense has been much better of late. It's going to continue to get better with Chris Middleton on the floor. But tonight, the offense is what lost you this game.
And I agree with you, Justin. And what really lost you the game was the offense late in the game. I believe it was back-to-back possessions where Giannis pulled up on that transition three. I wasn't a fan of that shot. I don't think that was the greatest shot selection in that moment. And then I believe the very next possession was a Damian Lillard kind of pump fake, moved to his right and threw up a shot that I don't even think it hit the rim, hit the side of the right side of the backboard. And those were back-to-back possessions. And on that other end, Horford makes that three. And then Jrue Holiday, I believe, makes that floater after the Damian Lillard miss. Really the fourth quarter, because I felt like their offense was kind of consistent. You got, 61 combined points from Giannis and Dame, but nobody else really went above 15, I believe. I think 11's the highest. So it felt like consistently it was Giannis and Dame all night. You had a few spurts. Gary Trent Jr. and AJ Green had some big shots, and obviously Chris Middleton. But I just think it was that fourth quarter. Tatum opens up on a 12-0 run of his own and just kind of dictated it from that fourth quarter on from the beginning. But the Bucks hunt in there, man. Like, they hunt in there despite all of that. They were right there at the end. I mean, they had the one-point lead, and then eventually that faded away. But it just felt like that those last two possessions just felt like that was kind of the nail in the coffin for the Bucks. They just could not get anything going in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, down the stretch, especially as you pointed out, the final 6 minutes were tough. I don't think any of us expected the Celtics to go away, but Jason Tatum opens up the quarter scoring their first 7 points, including a 4-point play there, and you knew you were in for it. So I thought the Bucks did a great job of matching things, and to me, turning points. I mean, you still have 5 minutes left, but the turning point may well have been that out-of-bounds play that Joe Mazzulla challenged, where instead of having the ball, still a lot of time, but having the ball already up two possessions, it gets overturned and it gets delivered right back to the Celtics. They come down and, again, quickly, a free throw from Jason Tatum, and then that Jrue Holiday layup where it's a one-point game. The Celtics would take the lead in 90 seconds, and I don't believe they ever trailed again. After that, I mean, the Bucks kept it close within one possession all the way until the final stretch of play tonight. But look, Doc Rivers kind of made these points too. Like, this is a made team. They figured out how to win. Doc and I think everybody's had this criticism about the Boston Celtics the last handful of years. And then, well, let's see how they do in the clutch and in these types of games. And Doc said himself after the game tonight, like, these are games. I don't know if this team wins that a couple of years ago, but they go through those wars, they get made with a championship, and now they trust each other and they know how to get through these moments. That's what we're hoping to get to. That's what we're pushing to get through, and there's a lot of teachable moments that we're going to have on film from this game tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. We mentioned it was the season debut for Chris Middleton, and I am very curious. I would assume 20 was the minutes restriction for Chris, given what Doc said. He went a little over it, and you could see some fatigue there. So it's going to take him some time to get into game shape. But once we start to edge out of the 20, because I think it's going to be, you know, kind of a ramping up period for Chris Middleton. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 20 for a handful of games and then a 25 and going to take some time to get to 30 minutes. But I am very curious once we get out of that phase, what it means for a couple of other guys on this roster, because I think we started to see some of that, a conversation that we've already had a couple of times before Chris Middleton made his return. I want to pivot to that. These rotations and some of the ways the Bucks are able to play, especially when you mention that closing lineup. We'll get into that conversation next on Bucks Talk.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk.
So they finish up their regular season series against the Celtics 0-3. There's a lot of chatter like, man, it's so weird that you're already done with the Celtics. It is strange that it's this early, but you almost had the same thing last year when you played the Indiana Pacers five times and you were done with them January 2nd. So, like,
it's a good point.
A three-week difference, basically, that we're talking about. But I mentioned how this team could look different. And one of the things I was most eager, excited to see in Chris Middleton's return, and we're not fully there yet because of the minutes restrictions we just spoke about, but is how Doc Rivers can do things differently in terms of his lineups and rotations. I don't know if I'd say it was a bad game because the Bucks did a much better job on the glass tonight, and a big part of that was Bobby Portis, who had 18 rebounds. But offensively, Bobby Portis did not have a good game, and we've seen more of that of late. 4 of 15 from the floor. He played 21 minutes tonight. Chris Middleton played 23. AJ Green played 23. And I was very curious, knowing Chris's return was imminent, about Bobby Portis. And, you know, do we see Chris Middleton utilized a little bit more as a small ball forward? Bobby's playing just under 24 minutes a game so far this season. That would be his lowest minutes per game total since his first year in Milwaukee in the 2020-2021 season where the Bucks won a championship. And, you know, in that year, in that season, we saw varying usage, and especially in the playoffs. You think back to that Brooklyn Nets series, Bobby Portis didn't play the last three games of the series. There were moments in the finals, too, where he wasn't out of the rotation, but the minutes were cut short. It's not a throw the baby out with the bathwater. If Bobby Portis, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen the "I'm done, Bobby's trash, and we're moving on." He still has value and usage, but I think you have to find the right spots, and you have to ride those moments. Like Doc Rivers talked earlier in the season about riding the hot hand with some of the young guys in the guard rotation. I think that's where we've moved to with Bobby Portis because of, you know, what his skill set is, especially when he's hitting those jumpers. It's a very, very valuable skill to have. He still does a pretty good job on the glass. 18 rebounds tonight, matched his season high. But, you know, against a team like the Celtics, where we talk about that five-out offense, there was, you know, one sequence where it's not Bobby Portis's fault, but he gets onto Jaylen Brown in a switch, and Jaylen Brown just blows right past him. Like, there are certain teams, it's going to be a struggle because of that, where I think you need to play small and have somebody like a Taurean Prince, or I'm going to keep banging the drum, Chris Middleton, to be your small ball four that's out there, the two of those guys together, where it's either Giannis or Brook Lopez playing at the same time, and you're playing those types of guys. And it gives you the ability to say, okay, AJ Green is also out there, or Gary Trent Jr. is out there, and Damian Lillard, where you got that mix of offense and switchability. I'm very curious to see, once Chris Middleton's minutes restriction is gone, what that means for Bobby Portis's minutes.
Yeah, Justin, that's a tough one. And I know he catches more flack, I think, than anybody on this Bucks team.
Well, I would push back on that and say a player that did not play tonight takes a lot of unwarranted flack.
I suppose that, yeah, he probably got a point there. I think I said this in game one of this season, Justin. I don't remember his numbers from the Philly game, but it's just a different Bucks team when Bobby plays well on the road. And it changes the dynamic of everything that they try to do offensively and defensively. Tonight was just not one of those nights. He couldn't get anything going. And it feels like that's kind of been, he struggled Wednesday night against Atlanta as well, which would be another tough matchup for him in the athleticism that they show on that Atlanta Hawks team as well. I'm torn between the Bobby Portis situation just because you don't wake up, Justin, and roll out of bed and get 18 rebounds. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, there's value in that. And 4 for 15, that's just not Bobby. Like, first off, to me, that's a high volume of shots. I don't know where you stand on 15 attempts in 21 minutes, but I feel like that's a high volume of shots. I mean, Chris Middleton only had 10, and I know he's, getting his win back, but I felt like the volume of shots was just too high for my liking, as opposed to shooting. Yeah, didn't have a great shooting night, but I'm okay if those 15 attempts, or, if it's instead of 15 attempts, it's 9 attempts, it's 11 attempts, it's, he's done a better job of moving the ball. Like, it's not sticking as much as we saw in the first portion of the season. But I think there's value in Bobby Portis. I do, and I'm going to ride with him until otherwise, but I just feel like he's in a stretch right now. We're kind of seeing a little bit. I don't want to bring in negativity with Brook Lopez. He hasn't been the offensive guy we've seen early on in parts of the season. He only had 6 attempts today. He kind of is non-existent on the offensive side of the ball lately as well. But those are your horses, man. They do so much for you on both ends of the floor. Brook Lopez playing defense, Bobby getting the boards. There's just too much value in that to kind of be upset about. I just my only gripe is, I guess, tonight is just the volume of shots.
I mean, I don't. It is kind of funny that it sounds like you're taking issue with Brook Lopez only taking 6 shots when earlier in the season your issue was the volume of shots he was taking.
Well,
but
hold on. The thing, but you're going to play almost 40 minutes, man. You're going to have to. Like, Giannis and Dame had 31 and 30. Nobody else went above 11 points. That's, like, they're going to need a more output from guys of more than 11 points, especially to compete in the Eastern Conference against one of the better teams. I'm fine with Brook Lopez taking shots. I always tell you, it's the selection of shots.
Well, it's
6 attempts, Justin, in 38 minutes?
But it's not. And the problem is, when Bobby Portis took 15 shots, Chris Middleton took 10 shots, like, those are the guys that you're looking to. It's not Brook Lopez that you really want night in, night out to be taking that high volume of shots. So I don't have a problem with that. And, I mean, it's just the fourth game this season that Bobby Portis has had 10 or more rebounds. So the whole, like, well, you don't roll out of bed and just get 18. I'm like, yeah, I agree, but he also hasn't been rebounding the ball like he has in the past. This is the fourth time
defending.
We've seen that.
Not defending either. I agree.
The other part of it is
tonight.
The shooting line tonight. I mean, this team has had a number of guys go through tough stretches very, very early in the season, but I do think we need to keep an eye on 4 of 15 tonight, 5 of 12 2 games ago against the Pistons, 5 of 15 in Miami last week, 5 of 13 the game before that. So this isn't the anomaly. Like, we've started to see this pop up a lot more for Bobby Portis this season.
Yeah, and I don't know where you draw the line with him, though. Like, where is your comfort with Bobby on the offensive side of the ball? Like, where do you, like, what if you had to pick an area in a amount of minutes or shot attempts, like, where are you comfortable with Bobby Portis? Because I feel like there's times where he gets too aggressive offensively and the ball sticks, and then there's times where it's like, you know, you're wide open, or you know, you had a mismatch, or you know, whatever, and he seems to be too passive. Like, where do you stand as far as the offensive side of things go with Bobby Portis?
I mean, there's no magic number. It just has to do with if you're hit, like, yeah, the ball can stick, but I think you're willing to accept that for a possession or two if it's one of those nights. Like, we've seen a couple of times. We saw it every single game of the preseason, it felt like. But if it's one of those nights where he's, you know, 7 of 10, somewhere around there, and he's knocking down shots against the Pacers when he came out red hot, and I think he was, like 7 of 11 or something in that game. When you're in those modes, then, look, no one is going to tell you it's the most efficient basketball, but it's what Bobby does best. Like, when he's hitting those shots, then all right, fine. We'll give you a couple of those back down possessions, but once it's not just you and the ball just starts sticking everywhere, and once that shot isn't going through, then it's you got to ride the hot hand and have a maybe not necessarily quick hook, but okay, we got to look for something else here. And I think by and large, Doc Rivers has done a good job with that. You know, tonight especially, we said what it was 23, 21 minutes that Bobby played tonight. 17 against the Atlanta Hawks when you ran into similar issues, 18 against the Miami Heat when you were playing without Giannis, but you still said, hey, we got to go even smaller, and that means Brooke Lopez can defend the rim and we can put switchable guys on the perimeter. So I do think Doc has done a very good job of recognizing that, as much as some fans may disagree. I think he's recognized that and figured out how not necessarily how, but when are the spots to say, okay, we gotta move on to something else here. And tonight I would say the same thing too, you know, like how many minutes, if any, did BP play in the fourth quarter here? He played 4 minutes in the fourth quarter, and you know, it was all early where you couldn't just, to your point of the rebounding, you couldn't just say we can't play the guy because he was getting you those boards. But when Boston was starting to find more of their offense and when that shot just wasn't falling, then it just became, okay, we got to move on to something else. And Doc has shown no hesitation to do that this year.
No, he absolutely has not. I think this game is a little bit different. Obviously, outside of Giannis and Dame, if they had somebody else step up, it just felt tonight, and I would say really over the last few games, I know they've now lost two in a row with the Atlanta Hawks team as well, just haven't been able to find that third piece of the puzzle, and eventually I think we're all in the agreeance that that's going to be Chris Middleton, but it just hasn't been. I mean, A.J. Green didn't have a great shooting night Wednesday against the Atlanta Hawks. Tonight he was he only took four shots, but just felt like guys that were stepping up during that seven game run that they had are starting to cool off a little bit. And I think they just got to kind of figure out where that third leg of scoring is going to come from. Obviously Taurean Prince going out, you know, only playing 9 minutes tonight, probably put a fork in any of their plans. I mean, Gary Trent Jr. had more minutes than Giannis tonight, which is kind of surprising, but I guess that not necessarily. I guess when you talk about Prince going out, I think eventually, and that's why I'm optimistic, Justin, about this team, because I think eventually you're going to get that out of Chris Middleton. You know, once he gets his legs underneath him and catches his breath, I think that's, and everything else will fall into place. That's what's got me excited. You know, I'm upset about the loss. If you're a Wisconsin sports fan, it's been a rough 24 hours, but there is optimism in a loss against the Celtics. You can play with this team. You can play with any team. You did it. Houston Rockets are one of the best teams, if not the top team in the Western Conference. You can play with these teams. You played with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Two games you lost by a total of 3 points. You didn't even have full strength. Like, they have the capabilities. They just have a little tweaking to do, and I think that's what has me at least optimistic, even despite a frustrating loss. Because there's difference, Justin, between a concerning loss and a frustrating loss. This was a frustrating loss. You know, you know what you did wrong. You know, hit a couple shots in that fourth quarter. It's a different game.
Yeah, I do want to get into that and playing with these teams and a few callers on the line that we'll hear from as well. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
111-105 final in Boston. The Celtics beat the Bucks. Mentioned what we've seen this week from the Bucks and another team to the north. We'll get into that, but let's head to the phone lines first and check in with Q in Milwaukee.
Justin, I've got a really quick point, and then I'm going to push back on the Bobby stuff a little bit. Torian Prince being out, he's our most efficient three-point shooter. I think that had a big impact on this game. Like you were saying, I think it affected like kind of what they're planning to do. On the Bobby front, the Bucks went 1-for-12 in the final 5 minutes of this game. You're not going to win a lot of games doing that, and Bobby wasn't playing. Bobby finished +7 on the game, and Brooke was -14. And only one of them closed this game. So Bobby's the second leading rebounder on the team. Like he's averaging over 7 rebounds. Nobody else. The next closest is Brooke at 5. And most of Bobby's rebounds tonight came with Giannis and Brooke on the bench. And as you know, there's 96 front court minutes in every NBA game. And without Bobby Portis, Giannis would be averaging over 40 minutes a game. And I don't think that makes him that's not sustainable. And he'd be injured again come playoffs time. So I'm not saying Bobby's a perfect player. His field goal percentage tonight was terrible, but those 18 rebounds kept us in the game and it kept the minutes low for Giannis. So I don't know what the answer is if it's not Bobby Portis to keep us healthy. I just think he's a minute sponge that this team needs.
I mean, I don't think either of us said or suggested you lost the game because of Bobby Portis. But I'm not a big fan, and Brandon knows this. Thanks for the call, Q. I'm not a big fan and a proponent of plus-minus numbers because it does not speak to the individual player. It speaks to the five-man group that's on the floor. And the rebounding numbers, I get it. Like, he's second on the team. This team has not done a good job of rebounding the basketball, period, this season. Well below where they need to be, and that was a huge issue for them early in the season. I would also look at the rebounding rate versus the raw rebounding numbers because that tells a better story. And that's, you know, it's not a Bobby Portis thing. It's a team thing that needs to get better for this group. His numbers in terms of that and his rebounding rate are down this year, kind of to the point we made before. I mean, last year he was a double-double machine. He has 4 games with 10 or more rebounds this year. And again, just as I said, the plus-minus, that's not all on Bobby Portis. That's on some of the scheme and who's on the floor with you. But I don't think you can look at it. I get the point about, you know, 96 minutes that you have in the front court to fill. This isn't the 90s, though. Like, you don't have to play a center with a power forward. It's very matchup-based, and we're seeing more and more perimeter-based offenses. That's where we've seen the biggest issues. And not just Bobby Portis, but others. Like, I don't want to single out and pick on Bobby Portis. And again, we didn't say Bobby Portis is the reason why the Bucks lost this game tonight. It wasn't. Like, to Q's point, they couldn't score down the stretch. But especially when you play the Celtics. You know, we're seeing the Cleveland Cavaliers do the same thing and close the game with one of those two bigs on the floor. More often than not, that's where the game is headed. So he's great as an insurance and to have to preserve those minutes for Giannis, especially during the regular season. But, you know, we heard so much in the offseason about the Bucks looking for versatility. And everybody took that as, well, they're trading Brook Lopez so they can play smaller. And no, the versatility means we need to have Brook Lopez and we need to have other ways to play too, where depending on the matchup, we can go with a traditional lineup. And if it's a team like the Celtics, maybe we play Giannis at the 5 and we play Chris and Torian Prince in the front court and we go with, you know, Damian Lillard and a defensive guard in the backcourt. That's the versatility that they're searching for. And I think versatility is a struggle in those minutes where they've had Bobby Portis on the floor.
Yeah, and to go to Q's point too, like I guess I'm kind of overlooking it as well. The more I look at these numbers and the more I think about it, man, losing Prince was, I think, a much bigger deal than it felt like at the time. I thought that's a great point that he made, and I know you mentioned it as well, Justin, but that kind of changes a lot of things dynamically as far as offense and defense goes on both sides of the ball.
I mean, I don't want to overdo what it does offensively because Taurean Prince is still your fifth or sixth option on the team. So this wasn't losing Giannis or Damian Lillard. He's been terrific in catch-and-shoot situations this season. But the Bucks weren't getting into the paint a lot. Like, Giannis had one assist in this game. And, you know, I suppose you could say it's the chicken and the egg theory. Like, Giannis and Dame had five total assists in this game. So there wasn't a lot of ball movement. There wasn't a lot of paint touches. So I don't know how much of an impact Taurean Prince is going to make in that spot. Like, he's at his best when Damian Lillard is driving, the defense is collapsing, when Giannis is racking up assists as well, because he told us on media day, he looked at all the numbers, he looked at the game film and figured out where's the best spots for me to be on the floor. Here's all the instances of catch-and-shoot three-pointers the last 2 years with Giannis, last year with Dame as well. Like, that's the role I'm going to take on, and that's what he has excelled at. But there wasn't a whole lot of that tonight. So I don't really know how much that impacted the Bucks' offense. But, you know, defensively, it would have given you more to throw out there because we saw Gary Trent Jr. and Giannis play equal minutes in this game because, and I thought Gary Trent Jr. was perfectly fine, but you had nothing else to lean on because this was another game, too, that, you know, it's one of the things that we talked about, or I should say I talked about earlier in the season, too, and coming into this season. My big hesitation with everybody and every Bucks fan that wanted to anoint Ajax as this is the young guy, my big hesitation was the offense and the fact that it is going to be incredibly difficult to play him with Giannis until the offense starts to develop more, until you find a consistent, doesn't even have to be shot, but something that you can go to. And we still haven't seen that. And 12 minutes tonight, I don't think we saw him for more than 3 minutes in the second half. So he played 5 minutes in the third quarter. I don't think he played in the fourth quarter. He played 9 seconds in the fourth quarter. So
yeah, it was at the end.
We've seen more of, especially against good defenses, it's really tough to have Ajax on the floor in those spots where Giannis is. And, I mean, quite frankly, you want Giannis on the floor as much as possible. So that's going to hamstring him.
Yeah, I mean, and when he has the moments too, I just tonight just kind of not ready for it in the dunker spot. He's got to bring more offensively, Ajax, that is, to get those minutes if he's going to be out there with Giannis. I think he's valuable in what he does defensively. I think where he was at tonight is probably what you're going to see him throughout the rest of the season, especially with Chris Middleton inserting himself back into the rotation. 12 minutes, I think, is kind of right where you want to see him. Just, I don't know, the more I just kind of look at this box score, the more frustrated I get, though, Justin. No points from Peyton Pritchard. Derek White hit one shot. Al Horford, 3 for 8. Like, just felt like they let one slip tonight. And I know, you know, they're still a work in progress, but the more I think about it, the more frustrated I get. I mean, 32% from three for a team that lit us on fire, you know, and
lit the Bucks on fire.
Yeah, correct. Tonight at home, 32%. I mean, I feel like they let one slip. I'm optimistic about it still. I'm encouraged by things that I'm seeing. I'm not, no way, shape, or form am I giving up on this year. But you look at this, you're like, and this game probably won't matter, you know, come April or whatever. You know, if you see him in the playoffs again, things are going to be different anyway. But it's just like, whew, man, if you would have told me this, Justin, before the game started, you know, Giannis and Dame are going to combine for 61. Chris Middleton's going to play. Peyton Pritchard's not going to score. Derek White's going to hit one shot in almost 40 minutes. Jaylen Brown's going to be under 50%. I would have liked my chances there. That's why that you know obviously the game is different, but
the 32%. I mean, again, it can get clouded by the fact that the Celtics went 0-of-12 in the third quarter.
Yeah,
so it was a bad quarter shooting the ball for the Celtics, and that's where the Bucks played their best defensive quarter, as Doc Rivers said too. So, I mean, 32% is not the rate the Celtics typically shoot at. I think they're a 37% on the season, somewhere around there. But you take the 0-for-12 out of there, 17-of-41. It's above 40%. You know, even if you hit two or three in that quarter. So it wasn't like this was just a putrid game shooting the ball. They had stretches, but it was one bad quarter for the Boston Celtics. And you didn't see it from Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, especially in the fourth quarter from Jason Tatum. But the larger point, you mentioned it. I mentioned the tie-in, too, to what we've seen this week. I mean, you have three games where you played this team very well, and you're still getting there. And Doc Rivers said after the game tonight, too, like, we're not there yet, but I like what I see. We're getting there. We have things to work on. And you had three games that were very winnable against the Boston Celtics, and each of those was really a bad quarter that doomed you. It was the third quarter in each of the previous two games. It was the last half of the fourth quarter tonight. So in that sense, you're making some progress, but the big thing that you're still searching for now is winning games against these teams, against the Celtics, against the Cavs, against the Thunders. You got one against the Rockets. That's your marquee win so far. You may have one against the Knicks next week. You're going to have one against the Magic, who right now are the third best team in the Eastern Conference. So to me, the important part is to start to win those games. And I don't want to overlook Sunday in Orlando when we reconvene here in Orlando, in Brooklyn when we reconvene, because you also have to win those games, right? Like we said, the mark of a different team for this Bucks team is be competitive in these games and start to beat good teams. But maybe more importantly, you got to beat the games. You got to win the games that you're expected to win. And they've started to do that. That was what the win streak was when everybody's going to point to, yeah, but who do they beat? Well, I mean, you know what? These are games they weren't winning last year. These are games they weren't winning earlier in the year. So that's absolutely an important part, carrying it through to Sunday against the Brooklyn Nets, to me, is just as important. Like, you've lost two in a row. Let's try to avoid another 4 or 5 game losing streak, something along those lines. Nip it in the bud, beat a team you're supposed to beat, and then build up some momentum for the NBA Cup games next week. The other positive or good part for this team and for Chris Middleton, a newly returned Chris Middleton, is the schedule next week. So they are going to play Sunday, obviously, and then Tuesday at home against the Magic. So you're on the standard cadence then. But after Tuesday, the earliest you will play again is Saturday. So if the Bucks win against the Magic, they are playing either the Knicks or the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals of the NBA Cup Saturday night in Las Vegas, or Saturday afternoon in all likelihood. If they lose, they play the loser of the Knicks-Hawks game, and that game will either be Sunday or Monday, depending on who loses the game, and that will also determine if it's a home game or a road game for the Bucks. So the main point is, after Tuesday's game, you will have at least 3 days off between then and your next game, and you may potentially have 5 days off. And then after you play that game, you don't play again until the 20th. So you'll have another stretch of 3, 4, or 5 days off after that. So you had that gauntlet of whatever, 5 and 7 days, and just day after day, and a couple back-to-backs again, and another every other day sequence of games. That grinds to a halt over the course of the next 2 weeks here. So that is certainly going to be advantageous for one of the older teams in the league here. But now the next order of business is win those games you're supposed to win. We will see if they can do that Sunday afternoon in Brooklyn against the Nets. That is a 2:30 tip-off. 2 o'clock is when our network pregame coverage begins, and we will reconvene afterwards with more Bucks talk. I don't know what else there's going to be to do on Sunday, Brandon, because There's nothing else going on that people have to worry about. You can devote all of your time to the Bucks on Sunday afternoon, and then hopefully we are digging into the end of a two-game skid and another win to get back above 500. Like, the goal from this point on, we're not going to drop below 500 internally. That should be how the team views it. Of like, we're still taking these we're still making these strides, improving things, but we don't want to drop back below 500. We had to climb that hill to get a winning record again. We're not sliding back down again, and that starts on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you worked way too darn hard and fought through way too much. You know, it was a 7-game win streak, and I don't care who they played. I mean, winning is hard, period. Like, it's just hard. So, you know, we've become accustomed to it, Justin, as Bucks fans over the years, but it's not an easy thing to do, especially when a lot of those times you're getting that team's best shot when you're going up against Giannis and Dame. And the Bucks did it without Giannis in Miami, which I know Miami's not off to the great start, but I think that's a signature win.
And they're playing better on the road. Yeah. In Miami in a cup game without Giannis. You lost a close one on the road in Boston, the Celtics. So you're playing much better on the road now.
And just keep building off that. And I think they keep their head above water. I was really big on seeding, you know, maybe a year, two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm at the point now, Justin, where,
like, get in. If you're six and it means healthy. Chris and Giannis and Dame are healthy, fine. I'll take
100%.
That.
100%. Yeah.
Sunday afternoon, Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets, 2:30 tip time. 2 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. 2 o'clock, actually, with Bucks shoot around. And then, as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.